I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attacking the running back position at different levels. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and with me today is Derek Brown, D-Bro, a.k.a. the King of Bros, and a very special guest from 4for4 Football. We've got John Paulson joining us. He is the director of forecasting at 4for4, and we've got a lot of things to break down today. We're going to talk about running back rankings and tiers, why those tiers are so important, what those groupings are like over fantasypros.com on the ECR side of things, and maybe who are the guys who are going to jump tiers potentially or fall out of the tiers they're in currently. We also have a lot of news to get to at the top of the show today. So before we get to anything else, let's just get to that because we have the information from the league that just came down earlier this morning on Monday, which is Deshaun Watson. As of right now, this is once again from the independent arbiter. They have decided upon Deshaun Watson violated the personal conduct policy and suspended 6 games. And that is from Sue Robinson, who is the federal judge who put that forth. So the NFL still has a few days to appeal as of us recording this right now. Derek Brown, let's start and talk about Deshaun Watson because we're going to put all the other stuff to the side. We all know what he did was absolutely terrible. We can talk about that all day long, but our job is to talk about fantasy and the analyst role here is to talk about his value now under that 6-game suspension. So Derek, where have you adjusted, if at all, Deshaun Watson in your ranks for both single quarterback and for super flex formats?
I mean, Deshaun Watson, before we even knew the possible suspension length and what that kind of looks like, he was one of those like lottery ticket guys in fantasy drafts, best ball drafts and stuff. So I moved him up to QB 12. He's kind of in that same tier of Trey Lance, Justin Fields, rushing quarterbacks, upside. Like if the suspension holds, yes, he's going to miss 6 games, but we know that Watson historically, when he's been on the field, has been a top 5 fantasy quarterback. So if you're going to take that kind of swing and redraft in best ball, make sure one that you obviously are padded for the first 6 games where he's going to miss, which I'll kind of talk about here in a second. Like I have in the same bucket as Justin Fields, but if you're drafting Deshaun Watson in redraft, you're doing early best balls, things of that nature, Justin Fields is a fantastic player. If I can ever get this out right, Justin Fields is a fantastic player to pair with Watson considering his first 6 games. I mean, he's got San Francisco, Green Bay, Minnesota, the Giants, and Washington. And none of these pass defenses were higher than 13th in pass defense DVOA. Mm-hmm. So pretty good schedule and the rushing upside. So if you're looking at that suspension length for Watson, it's a good player to pair with him when we get to redraft season.
Now, John, I know you woke up early on the West Coast to join us this morning, and this, I'm sure, You know, boy, I hope you had a good cup of coffee because we're going to jump right into it here this morning. So it doesn't feel necessarily like it's done quite yet. This is the salvo, whether or not this is the final salvo, we shall find out in a moment. I'm kind of where Derek is, where I've got him at 16, actually, right now, Deshaun Watson. I've got him behind some of the safer options that I have for the first 6 weeks of the season because, you know, I want somebody who's going to contribute because, you know, that's nearly a third of the regular season, if not half for fantasy purposes. So how does this news in the, again, temporary, at least definitive slash suspension work for you in terms of your adjustments to Deshaun Watson's rank?
Yeah, we'll see what the NFL decides to do in terms of an appeal. But for now, I'm just assuming that it's going to be six games. Either they fail in their appeal or they don't appeal. So this did bump him up and bump the Browns offense up in my projections. So I do full team projections and then obviously full player projections. So my rankings end up being a little bit different than somebody who just has to rank players, you know, 1 through 30. And this is how you want to draft. So what I tell our subscribers at 4 for 4 is that right now Watson is coming in at 22 in my projections, but his positional value in his ADP is higher than that. So you have to look at it, you know, kind of holistically when you're looking at your draft and the format of the draft, because, you know, a big best ball tournament, he's the wild card. I mean, I took him in Scott Fishbowl. I felt dirty about it, but I felt like he was that
same
wild card that was out there, that if he ended up playing half a season or more, he could really help my team in the fantasy playoffs there in the Scott Fishbowl. So I think that's sort of the way that, you know, you can get by without him in a regular redraft league. You're just trying to win your league. You don't need to draft him, but he's not a bad player to have there, as Derek mentioned, because he is a top five fantasy quarterback when healthy. I'm a little bit worried about the layoff, but he has enough weapons there in Cleveland. They have a strong offensive line. So it's a pretty good situation for him. And that puts him at 22 in my rankings, but they're really my projections. And then, you know, if I were drafting, I'd probably, depending on format, start thinking about him in the double digit rounds. You know, you can still get like Aaron Rodgers in the 9th or 10th round.
Right.
So I don't feel like you have to really reach on Watson, but if he's sitting there in the 14th or 13th or something like that, and maybe you don't feel great about your quarterback situation, or you want to have that wild card that can really help you towards the end of the year, he's not a bad player to target at that point, because, you know, the skill positions at that point are pretty dried up.
So are you somebody that would say reach for the talent of Deshaun Watson a round or two earlier and then be okay with Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr for the first, and then just kind of back it up that way in reverse? So some people might think the other way, and that might be the wrong way to approach the draft. I'm more the go be aggressive on the guy that you think can win you your league, get the safe guy afterwards, because all those guys are kind of close. Is that also your approach?
Yeah, because the quarterbacks that are available towards that range are not as, you know, desirable, obviously. But I think what Derek's strategy was pretty good, and look at the quarterbacks that have a favorable schedule for that first 6 weeks and just pair them with Watson, and you could be in pretty good shape. I haven't done it yet, but there's probably somebody or two or three players down here that are pretty capable that can get you by and get you, you know, high end QB2 numbers for those first six weeks. And then all of a sudden you can just plug Watson in there, you know, week 7 or 8.
Yeah, I mean, at the bottom of the tier, you've got Rodgers, Carr, Cousins. Maybe Trevor Lawrence gets off to a better start this year. Fields, we were talking about as well. Matt Ryan's kind of boring, but, you know, perhaps serviceable for a few weeks there, opening up the season. Also, just breaking over the weekend was Deebo Samuel getting paid. So this is very important, certainly in dynasty leagues, because now you know where Deebo is going to be. 3 years, $71 million extension, $58 million of that guaranteed. Now, Derek, in terms of, you know, where we like Deebo, we all feel like the rushing attempts are going to be down a little bit year over year, especially since you have Trey Lance now with that job. But at the same time, what does this do in terms of solidifying his value both in redraft and in dynasty now that he has signed this deal?
I mean, I love Deebo, the talent. I hate the offensive complexion in San Francisco. I mean, considering I with Lance under center, I think their passing volume could drop even lower. I have a hard time in any draft right now pushing the button on a lot of 49ers outside of Lance. Maybe George Kittle, but I love Deebo the talent. I mean, last year when we saw him as a wide receiver, top 10 metrics across the board as far as efficiency, before he went to the wide back role, he was, I mean, arguably a top 5, top 6 wide receiver in the NFL and for fantasy purposes. So it hurts me. In the sense of, I know the offense and the volume and stuff for Debo over the next few seasons is not going to be great. I'm going to go back and look at my dynasty ranks today regarding him. I mean, I've got him obviously as a top 15 dynasty wide receiver, but I do find myself looking to push the button on other wide receivers going around him though.
Real quick, Matt Harmon's reception perception has Debo ranked fifth in the NFL on success rate for zone coverage, broke multiple tackles, went in space at the second highest rate. So those are some interesting stats there. In your opinion, John, where is Debo Samuel now that he is locked in as a 49er, at least for the short term here in the next few years?
I was expecting him to sign, so I didn't really have to alter my projections at all. But I have him at 7.5 PPR, and I'm not drafting him much at that point. I'm getting Lamb or Diggs or somebody at that point. Or right. I'm in the middle of the second round. I might be drafting Aaron Jones because I'm pretty high on him. So I'm going another direction. I think that Debo's value really hinges on whether or not he's getting those carries that he got towards, you know, it's the end of the year and all those touchdowns that he was scoring. I mean, he was really incredible in that role. And it sounded like they're going to continue with him in that role. So I am worried as from a major standpoint of, macro standpoint, looking at the 49ers offense in terms of them, more runs, less passing, and they're already run heavy team. So a lot of these pass catchers, you're wondering about them. But Debo, if they're handing it to him and they're also throwing him a few passes per game, he's probably one of the safer bets in that offense, given his role, second half of last season.
All right. There's the housekeeping from the weekend. And I'm sure this is going to be the way August is. There's always going to be something to talk about at the top of the show that's very important, something that's either breaking news or injuries. Fingers crossed, hopefully not too many of those. But wanted to make sure we got that up front for everybody, because I know everybody's thinking about those two big pieces of news. Watson, of course. 6 games so far suspended. We'll see if that holds true. And Debo not going anywhere, staying in San Fran. Let's get to the show today in the RB discussion, because that's what you're here for after all. That's the long form. And of course, don't forget, we've got a giveaway going on right now, thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. Head over to pristineauction.com to check out all the cool stuff. And don't forget to go to fantasypros.com/contest, where you can be involved in the Davante Adams signed Raiders jersey giveaway. It is a beautiful thing to behold, and it can be yours. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. And I know chances are you are already. We've got amazing videos coming out. We got all the podcasts on there. We've got live stream mock drafts. We got live streams coming up for the big football fest later in the month. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros and click that little bell till it goes ding as well. And don't forget, also, we've got the cheat sheet creator too. So if you want us in there, or any expert that you think is just the tops, we can do that for you. We can be in your draft live, helping you out at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Check out the cheat sheet feature that is available. It's going to sync up to all of your drafts if you have that expert sync feature as well. And that's going to help you run things. And every time somebody makes an adjustment to their ranks, your cheat sheets are going to get automatically updated. That is something, again, it's just so invaluable. You can use that cheat sheet in both the draft simulator and the mocks, and for your actual drafts as well. And remember, if you want to be a premium member and have access to these cool things like the cheat sheet, I'm giving it to you in the game plan I've got, which is go over to fantasypros.com and check out fantasypros.com/offers. Again, /offers. And just all you got to do, make a quick little deposit in one of our partner sites. And just like that, you get 12 months, an entire year for free of Fantasy Pros tools for your draft, for your in-season management, to set your lineups, to look at the waiver wire, to make your life easier and better and dominate all of your fantasy football leagues. So check out fantasypros.com/offers and upgrade today. Let's upgrade the discussion, gentlemen. Let's talk about the running back tier one over at fantasypros.com. And if you want to see these ranks yourself, obviously, you can hover over fantasypros.com/rankings as well. And when you go to the rankings page, you will see in the half PPR, you're going to see Jonathan Taylor in tier one, Christian McCaffrey at 2, Austin Eckler at 3, Dalvin Cook at 4, Derrick Henry at 5. That's the way the experts, quote unquote, have consensus ranked them right now. So let's talk about the one spot here. I know Derrick's point of view. John, talk to me about Jonathan Taylor versus McCaffrey. How does this tier shake out? Do you have McCaffrey 2? Do you have McCaffrey 1? Do you have McCaffrey in this tier? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I like to, when I talk about Christian McCaffrey, just underline the fact that I, in the Scott Fishbowl, took him at 101 the last 2 years, back-to-back season. So I'm a little bit burnt by his injuries the last few years. So I just would say
understandably
I don't know if I'm completely objective.
But is that actually, you know, you're saying that doesn't make you, might not make you objective, but does it make you realistic? Like maybe that's something you should be the person to talk about this most.
Yeah. I try to avoid, ignore the injury history if it's not something that's repeatable or, you know, soft tissue stuff. But it's just, sometimes it's hard when a guy has burned you the last 2 years. I have him at 2 in half PPR. I have Taylor at 1. I think Taylor's, environment's really, really good. I mean, the offensive line's great. They got the quarterback upgrade with Matt Ryan. He should be able to repeat or do, you know, nearly as well as what he did last year. I think in full PPR, you know, McCaffrey is a lot closer to Taylor. And that's certainly debatable if you wanted to take McCaffrey for his receiving upside in full PPR. But in half PPR, I would take Taylor over McCaffrey.
Okay, so Taylor over McCaffrey. And that is very simple decision for you, it feels like, especially with all the therapy the last 2 years that you had to spend the money on. Derek Brown, we've had this conversation too. Is Jonathan Taylor just the easy one for you? I know some people have already put Christian McCaffrey back at 1. Maybe those people didn't have shares of him last 2 years. I understand those people have the retread feelings of doom and gloom, but where do you stand with this 1 and 2 ranking right now?
I've had Christian McCaffrey at 1. I still have Christian McCaffrey at 1. Okay. And we've talked about it, Joe. Like, he's a difference maker, and it's hard to find those in fantasy that are legit just, and we've seen the league winning type of ceiling. I mean, his efficiency as both a receiver and a rusher has been fantastic. We talked about the 26 points per game he's averaged over the last 2 years in games where he's just played 49% or higher of the snaps. And another, if we're splitting hairs here, because I still love Jonathan Taylor. Don't get
well, between
me wrong.
The three of us, there's not a lot of hairs left to split. I just want to say that.
Well, that's pretty fair. I mean, you know, right. Nothing's touching this. This is
well, the beard. The beard is glorious. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But, you know,
this thing is bulletproof, so nothing touches this. But if we are splitting hairs here with Jonathan Taylor, it comes down to, I do think that there is a lot of touchdown regression that can happen for Jonathan Taylor this year. I mean, just look at his role last year. It was absurd. I mean, the man finished with 85 rushing attempts inside the 20 and 26 inside the 5. Those numbers are insane. If you go back over the last 10 years, the league leader in rushing attempts in the red zone has averaged 60 attempts and inside the 5, 20. The last running back to go above 68 and 24 was Arian Foster in 2012. So just looking at regression from that angle, Jonathan Taylor could be in for a decrease, a sizable decrease in his touchdowns, as well as how the Colts offense could function, because they were incredibly run heavy inside the 20 last year. I mean, 58% of their run or plays was the third highest in all of football. And Frank Reich has not done that over his past 3 seasons. And this is with Phillip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett, and yes, I know part of that's Andrew Luck, but heck, with Rivers and Brissett, they were 3rd and 13th, and with Luck, they had the 5th highest red zone passing rate. With Matt Ryan in town, if they feel more comfortable and if they feel like they got the weapons to do so, I think we could see a lot more passing for the Colts inside the 20, and that does give me a little hesitancy about putting Taylor at 1, and I just slide McCaffrey, or keep McCaffrey, put it that way, at 1 for me right now.
And it's all this conversation about these guys and these fears of regression, the fears of another injury plague season, why I am super comfortable still taking Justin Jefferson 1 overall. I know it's a running back show. I know I'm ruining it by mentioning a wide receiver, but I don't care. And, you know, you mentioned about difference maker, and you're right. McCaffrey can be a difference maker, but it might not be the good difference. And I feel like we keep running into the wall with this, and the later I can get McCaffrey, the more I like the risk. Unfortunately, that's just not a scenario that seems to be playing out in drafts for me personally. And I understand why. I get it. I also get the McCaffrey love and the upside. Now, between Eckler, Dalvin Cook, and Derrick Henry, who is most likely in that grouping to potentially finish RB1 in half PPR, John? So if we're going to take Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey out of this mix and look at the other 3 guys remaining in this first tier, who is the most likely of that trio to finish at the very top?
Well, I have Derrick Henry at 3, and it's a, you know, he's built different. He's a big dude, and I'm a little, you look at his foot injury, I would probably be more concerned had he not come back in the playoffs. He was at least healthy enough to come back. He didn't look like himself completely, but he tried, and that kind of bodes well for his foot, I believe. And I don't think that Austin Eckler or Dalvin Cook are specifically durable, like any more durable than Derrick Henry is. So his workload he was also on pace for a career high in catches last year. I think he had 18 and a half a season. And so if he's getting like 36 catches or, you know, 35 plus catches, that makes him less of a liability in half PPR and PPR formats in terms of his receiving role. I think Henry probably has the best chance of, you know, steamrolling his way to another RB1 finish if he stays fully healthy and that Tennessee offense is a little bit better than what we're expecting.
Finally, someone here besides me defending the honor of Derrick Henry. It's nice to have you here today, John. All right, Derrick Brown of that trio, who is it for you that could finish as RB1 overall?
I always got to steer to the Derrick Henry shade, man. Good Lord.
That's all right. You've thrown him enough shade. We're throwing some sunshine on Derrick Henry today. So you leave Derrick Henry out of this. I know he's not your answer. So who is it? I assume it's Dalvin Cook, right? That's your answer?
Your assumption is correct, sir. Okay. Yes.
I spent enough quality time with you.
Of course. We get all kinds of lovely chats off air and stuff about our fights and differences.
This is just Derrick and myself every day talking football, whether the show's on, before the show, after the show, doesn't matter. This is it. Same conversations, same tone, same everything. So go ahead, give us the Dalvin Cook salvo, will you?
I love Dalvin Cook. We've seen him function as a top three running back in, I mean, what, not last year, the two previous seasons. He was back-to-back RB2, so we have seen it. If he gets the touchdown regression, which last year we talked about on our league winners episode, so people need to go rewind and check that one out. The touchdown regression is coming for Dalvin Cook, just based off of how unlucky he was inside the 20. Two previous years, 12th and 19th in red zone conversion rate. Last year, they dropped to 38th. We know his abilities as a receiver and a rusher. He was 11th and 8th in yards per route run prior to 2021. So in what we think is going to be a really good offense in Minnesota, fast paced, probably high scoring, and Dalvin Cook is going to be involved in all facets of the game. Yeah, I mean, I think that he could finally get over the RB2 hump, and he's got a really good chance to be the RB1 overall.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Buffalo Wild Wings. The best place to host your fantasy draft this year is at Buffalo Wild Wings. Book now in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy and get half off on all the bar food appetizers during your draft party. That includes nachos, buffalo chicken tots, everything pretzel knots, mozzarella sticks, fried pickles, you name it, they got it. Buffalo Wild Wings has great deals on beers too. $3 tall house beers, $4 domestic beers of the month, and $5 craft beers. This year, Buffalo Wild Wings is also putting together the League Loser Package. That's right. The League Losers are going to be on the hot seat. The first 20 draft parties at each Buffalo Wild Wings location gets a fantasy football punishment pack. And in that punishment pack, you're going to get 6 free boneless wings with the hottest sauce ever blazing and a bib to wear that says last place in big letters. So the whole bar will know just how bad that person is at fantasy football, plus a certificate of underachievement that's worthy of being framed. Not to mention free coupons for the whole league to come back during the football season. So don't forget to book in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Again, that's buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Spots fill up fast. Make sure you grab one for draft day before they're gone. And now back to the action. All right, let's move on to RB2. The names in this grouping here again are Najee Harris, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Aaron Jones, and Nick Chubb. Derrick, when you're looking at this group of players, who really stands out to you? Who do you really want to target of this group that you think has the most upside and floor?
Going to keep talking, going to keep hammering it. It's all about pass catching. I love his role, and I think that the offensive regression is going to happen for Detroit this year. They're going to be in the red zone more. We've seen the efficiency out of DeAndre Swift. He was first in yards created per touch and 14th in breakaway run rate. Inside what we believe is going to be a better Detroit Lions offense, I think the red zone opportunities are going to go up. And we have to remind ourselves, too, when Swift is toting the ball on early downs, he's doing it behind a really good offensive line. Like, the Lions were 15th and 8th in second level in open field yards last year, and I think they could get even better this season. So for me, out of this grouping, while I like a lot of players, like Najee's locked into a monster amount of volume, Aaron Jones, we know the talent, I'm going to go the upside of Swift here because a lot of the pass catching upside as well as the touchdowns.
John, how about for you? When you're looking at this grouping of Harris, Mixon, Swift, Jones, and Chubb, who's the guy that everybody's available on the board? You're up in the draft. Who are you selecting?
You know, I have Harris highest due to his 3-down workload, but, you know, we're talking about the value here. And I think, you know, Swift is a good value. Certainly I have Jones, Aaron Jones, one spot ahead of him. And I just think that the Packers are going to have to find ways to move the ball without Davante Adams. And he's going to be one of the primary guys that really picks up some slack. And we saw it when Davante Adams was out of the lineup since 2018, seven games that he missed. Jones's usage rose to 19.5 touches per game. You know, he's been more of a 15 to 17 touch type player. But when Devontae's out, they go to him, including 5.1 receptions per game. So I think he has that receiving upside, maybe not quite as high as DeAndre Swift, but I think the gap there is a little bit lower this year than, you know, if Devontae had stayed another season. So I think he's a catch for, you know, a threat for 70 catches, 700 yard type season. And they're going to score more touchdowns than the Lions. So I think his touchdown upside's higher. Now, A.J. Dillon is a little bit of a headache, thorn in his side. DeAndre Swift doesn't really have that. I mean, Jamal Williams is a little bit, but I think they're going to try to feature Swift. So I think that's an interesting debate between those two. I think, you know, for me, I'm betting on the Packers offense and them using both running backs at the same time. I think we might see Jones split out more and Dillon in the backfield. And I think that's good for both players.
If you're betting on offenses, then why is Joe Mixon not the guy? Just out of curiosity, is it just because of the heavy pass volume you think this offense is? Is it simple as that?
Yeah, Mixon, he's really interesting because the Bengals spent the most net money on their offensive line this year. I think it was $20.3 million bringing in a net.
Well, they needed to, in all fairness.
Yeah, they needed to. And he did very – I mean, he did well without those upgrades. So I'm interested to see if that sort of, you know, rushing efficiency increases. I think he was quoted in camp saying that he's running through, like, these giant holes right now. But I don't know if that's going to continue once pads are on. But – I think Mixon is certainly worth where he's going. The question, I think, is they've already said that he's not going to play on third down. He's not good in pass protection. However, down the stretch, he was catching passes in the playoffs. Last few games of the regular season, they were still featuring him as a receiver. So I'm very comfortable taking him near that 1-2 turn.
Derek, how do you feel about Joe Mixon? Because that's a player, you know, in all of our discussions, we've had a lot of talk about DeAndre Swift. We've talked a lot about Aaron Jones. But, you know, Mixon's that one kind of that kind of falls through the cracks a little bit that we just take for granted. He's been there. He's been productive. He did deal with some injuries early in his career, but certainly the early career Bengals are not the Bengals that present themselves here coming off of a Super Bowl appearance. So talk to me about Mixon, his value here in this grouping and how you assess his value in 2022.
I like Joe Mixon. I don't love Joe Mixon. And it really comes down to, again, harkening back to the pass catching, but this team has shown time and time again they're not going to give him that three down role. And if you go look at his efficiency metrics as a receiver in the NFL, it's pretty easy to see why. I mean, outside of his rookie season where he was 11th in yards per route run amongst running backs, here's his finishes: 47th, 32nd, 34th, and 42nd. So it stands to reason why we haven't seen like this all world, which everybody clamors for, Joe Mixon and being like an 80 to 90% route per dropback type of running back. Now, I think he could get more run in the passing game maybe this year, just that they're passing and he's out there and they don't trust P. Ryan or Evans as much. But there's also a world where Evans can eat into his passing down snaps or P. Ryan. So I like Joe Mixon, but Joe Mixon is really similar to Najee in the sense of, yes, he's in a better contextual offense, but it's a volume play for me. Like, can I see him, you know, in most median outcomes, like RB5 to RB10-ish? Sure. Can he get me over the hump and be like a top two running back, like where I look at him in the same, a similar range of Dalvin and other players like that? No, I would much rather bet on upside in those scenarios over somebody like Joe Mixon.
All right, let's switch gears here to the guys in the next tier. Now, this is the tier three grouping. Again, you can see this at fantasypros.com/rankings. We've got Saquon at 11, then Leonard Fournette, Javonte Williams, Alvin Kamara, Connor, Elliott, Akers, Montgomery, and Hall. So a varying group here. We got some guys who are getting older, some guys with some looming questions, and a few young guys who, you know, still have a lot to prove. So this is fascinating. So, Derek, of this group, give me the three guys that you think could be breaking out from this. And again, breaking out doesn't necessarily mean they have to be new, but just breaking out of this tier three where they're sitting currently.
Well, the low-hanging fruit would be Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to bring him up here because actually—
Again, that's my favorite fruit. Everybody always poo-poos the low-hanging fruit. I'm short of 5'7".
It tastes good.
I just want to reach for that fruit. It's delicious. It's easy to get to and it's delicious.
The other thing is we're not exactly tall, Joe. So that's true. A lot of times the only thing we could reach. But
John, how tall are you? What are we rocking here?
I'm 6'8", so I was about to say.
So here's what we're going to do. I'll take care of the low-hanging fruit. I want you to go up the tree and take care of business. All right. And then we get all the fruit. And then it's fruit baskets for everyone. All right. Give me the breakout guys here. Who are we sending fruit baskets to?
So, I could easily mention Saquon Barkley, but the three guys on my list here are Javonte Williams, Cam Akers, and Breece Hall. And if you look at where I have them versus ECR, I'm a little bit behind consensus. Like ECR, Javonte Williams is RB13. I have him at 15. Not that I hate Javonte Williams. There are other players in this ilk that I like a little bit above him. But Cam Akers, ECR has him at RB17. I have him at 14. And Breece, the same thing. ECR has him at RB19. And I have Breece sitting at RB16. And it's a lot of different factors. I mean, I think if you're going to take the home run swing in this range, Javonte Williams is that guy for me, just based off of efficiency, improving offense. He was top 10 in almost every efficiency metric you look at per rushing last year. And I think his pass game involvement is going to go up. Akers, it's a massive bet on touchdowns. Like I put it out in our bold predictions article that's live on Fantasy Pros right now.
Nice plug. That, very nice.
Smooth. It's professional.
So professional.
Cam Akers, I think that he is a dark horse bet to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. And people might say that that's crazy. But if you look at the red zone rushing rates from the Rams outside of last year when they were 24th, in the previous four seasons, they were 2nd, 5th, 5th, and 14th. So they don't have to go all the way back to being top 2. But if they're top 10, top 8, that's a lot of touchdown equity for Cam Akers. And Breece Hall, I think people are sleeping on how good the Jets offensive line is going to be. From weeks 11 through 18 last year, they were first in non-quarterback yards before contact per attempt, and they got better in the offseason. And Breece Hall, what he does and the reason you want him in fantasy is he is a home run threat anytime he touches the ball. His breakaway run rates were fantastic in college, and that's what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL. Basically, it's put your foot in the ground and go. And he has the speed and the long speed to break off 40, 50-yard runs. So those are the three guys out of this tier that I'm most likely to draft.
John, when you're looking at this tier three, who do you think has potential to break out of three into two or maybe even into one?
Yeah, I think, you know, just historically in my career, I find myself defending these a little bit older guys that the fantasy community wants to move away from a little early. And it doesn't usually bite me in the butt. Sometimes it does. But I think in this situation, I mean, I like what Derek's saying about these players. I think Javonte Williams is fantastic. He's not one of my picks here, but I think if he's given a lead back role, like a true lead back role, then he's really dangerous. You know, right now I'm just kind of viewing him in a timeshare with Melvin Gordon still, until I hear a little bit different. I think Leonard Fournette is sort of undervalued right now. He was the RB5 prior to his ankle injury in week 15. He added 18 touches, 92 total yards, 0.77 touchdowns per game. Workhorse for one of the best offenses in the league. I think James Conner is a little bit undervalued. I've been getting a lot of him lately with Chase Edmonds moving on. I think the debate is whether or not Darrell Williams is going to have, you know, eat into his workload enough to really, you know, infringe on that. He's at like RB15, I think, in the rankings there. Yeah, I have him a little bit higher, RB12. He was over 20 touches per game when Edmonds was sidelined. A lot of touchdown upside in that offense as well. Even though I have him regressing in touchdowns, he's still, you know, a fringe RB1 for me. And then, you know, Barkley, I think you said the low-hanging fruit, so I'll just sort of avoid him. The other guy that I seem to be defending is Ezekiel Elliott. He got off to a really good start prior to his knee injury in week 4. And I think that just sapped a lot. And that's what fantasy community is looking at, is the second half of that season. They started to pass the ball even more and sort of went away from both of the running backs. But he was excellent at the start of the year. They're already talking about him being the whole offense needs to revolve around him. The running game needs to revolve around him. So I'm not really worried about his role in that offense. I mean, he's been a high touch guy there, and it's a pretty good offensive line. They've lost some people, but they've got a lot of depth in that offensive line. One of the best offensive line rooms in the league. So those are the three that I think could probably, you know, get into that RB1 conversation if assuming they can stay healthy.
Now, you mentioned defending, you know, the age and productivity of some of the guys on this list here as the veteran presence, but you know, some of those veterans, you mentioned the ankle injury for Fournette, you mentioned the knee injury for Ezekiel Elliott. how much should people put into that equation because of the age and perhaps the tread on the tires? I mean, I understand, you know, the productivity and the guys who have been there, done that and shown you they can. But how do you sparse that with looking at guys like Akers and Hall and their upside? Like, how do you approach it? If those guys are all on the board, are you still going with the proven entity?
Yeah, I mean, I think I start really worrying about durability, like, because I think some of these injuries are just injuries that anybody could pick up. I mean,
right, Javonte Williams, right,
could, yeah, he could bang his knee and, you know, turn his ankle. But I think once you get over 30 or 29, you start to worry about the player playing a full season or the same number of games as average, you know, as a running back. So I'm not like Elliott. I still, what is his age? I think he's 27. I'm not worried about that. I think Fournette's still like not close to 30. So that doesn't, and then Connor is still pretty young. I know he's got some injury history as well, but I try to look at it a little more, objectively with the injuries and not, you know, recency bias.
Sure.
Get so into that. So I defending those guys isn't too hard because of the workload and their production, but I can see why people want to move on to somebody like Javonte Williams because he does have that tantalizing ability.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. PristineAuction.com is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and auctions over Pristine Auction starting at just $1 each day. There's over 1,000 autographed items available so you can get signed, authentic, signatured items at affordable prices. And just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for just $110. What? Deals like this are happening all the time on PristineAuction.com, and they've got just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and many more. Every item on PristineAuction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item whenever you use that promo code FANTASYPROS. Again, that's one word, FANTASYPROS. Be sure to sign up now because there are deals ending every single day. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at PristineAuction.com. And now, back to the action.
Tier 4, this grouping is, again, very different. You've got some guys coming off some good seasons and some guys who showed you some flashes and some guys where, you know, a little concerned about what their outlook's going to be. This group includes at starting at 20 in tier 4, Travis Etienne, Antonio Gibson, then Jacobs, Eli Mitchell, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon, Sanders, Damian Harris, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kareem Hunt. So this is quite an interesting list. Now, a lot of people call this the RB dead zone. I call this my RB happy zone because I like some of the names here. I think there's tremendous value, tremendous upside here. And as somebody who is more wide receiver heavy, I have a lot of shares of these guys from this tier. So tier 4 is my happy place. Derek Brown, look at the happy place here and give me some names that you think are capable, strong RB2s, because realistically, this is more what these guys are going to be on most people's fantasy teams. So in that RB2 range, who do you feel good about? Give me a couple of the names.
So the first player I'll bring up, and I've talked about him numerous episodes, so I won't spend a lot of time on this, but Travis Etienne. I have him actually in the tier above this. I have him at RB17 versus ECR at RB20. We know the pass catching upside. He is exploding in camp. I think Doug Peterson's offense is going to feature him in the red zone. 3 of the 5 seasons in Philly, 14th or higher in red zone rushing rate, and I think that we can't believe that James Robinson is going to be fully healthy or effective for the entire season right now. So Etienne's the first name. The other three that real quick that I love in this range, AJ Dillon obviously makes the list and Miles Sanders as well, because I'm above consensus on them. But the one player I do want to spend some time on is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And yes, I know we've all the bias and we've been burned by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But now we have all these things coming out in the news about, like, he had to undergo gallbladder surgery and he was not able to train. He was severely underweight. And all these things show up in his metrics, guys. Like, his rookie season might not have been great, but also we are a tad too bearish on it. And I have him at RB25 versus 28 at consensus. And I just want to bring this back up, and we can be kind of rewind to his rookie season for a second. He was 19th in yards after contact per attempt, 12th in missed tackles forced. So it's not like, yes, we will never see Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a home run hitter, but was he breaking tackles and truly effective in his rookie season outside of not paying off on the high, high expectations that everybody had? No, he didn't reach all of that. But was he bad? No, he wasn't. So I think there is a range of outcomes where we could see Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally pay off on that promise and still what is going to be one of the league's best offenses.
All right. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a little defending there. It's difficult because his expectations, I think, were unrealistic year one. And then they were lowered in year two and he still fell short. So I think people are kind of concerned about, well, what do we do with this guy? And now this offense is much different looking without Tyreek Hill and a whole new cast of characters. John, when you look at this list, who are some of the names in this tier that you would be targeting for your fantasy squads?
I like the ETN call. I think the one thing that worries me is that I saw a couple different beat writers say that the team still considers James Robinson their RB1. So I just wonder if they're going to force touches to him when really they should be going into ETN. But I have him at RB19, ECR 20. I haven't moved him down. But that just worries me when that sort of reports coming out, multiple sources. So I think the talent there, and then also, you know, the rapport with Trevor Lawrence, and we saw that he has three down upside. I mean, it's 1600 yards rushing back to back, I think, as a sophomore and a junior in college. So, he's been kind of pigeonholed as a pass catching back, but he can do everything. The other player that sort of jumps out to me, I like the AJ Dillon call. I think he'll have a big role for the Packers, but Elijah Mitchell, I was really banging the table after week one with my subscribers to, you know, really put down a lot of money on in Fab for Mitchell. I think that the Kyle Shanahanigans are overblown. When it was Raheem Mostert healthy, he was the lead back. And then last year when it was Elijah Mitchell healthy, he was the lead back. 18.8 carries, I think 1.7 catches, started to get a little bit more involved as a receiver towards the end of the season. I think the concern is that they want to maybe run more of a committee this year, but I still think we're going to see at least 16 carries per game for Mitchell, and that's a really strong running game. So I think he's a pretty good value there in the sixth or seventh round.
Are you concerned at all with Trey Lance being there now, taking away some of those goal line touches that might be there? I mean, Eli Mitchell had a lot of games where he was, well, like 15 carries, 16 carries for 85 and a touchdown. And that was solid. Like, you'd take that. Yeah. I remember a lot of DFS investments I had in Eli Mitchell, especially on DK, where it was, you know, the PPR, but people would discount him like, hey, man, that dude's just, he's scoring touchdowns and getting touches. Take your points. But with Trey Lance now running the offense, certainly that is a whole different dynamic around the goal line. If he starts to lose some of those opportunities, how can that negatively affect Eli Mitchell in your mind in this group?
Yeah, I understand the concern. He's also, you know, 4.3 speed, so he's going to score some touchdowns from outside the red zone, you know, when they're not even thinking about Trey Lance as their goal line runner. And, you know, I have him, you know, ranked at RB21, and he's got 5.6 rushing touchdowns projected. So it's not like I'm expecting 10, 12 rushing touchdowns, although I think that's within his range of outcomes if they really use him as a goal line back. I do think he's sort of a lead back slash part-time player in a great rushing attack. And I don't think that, you know, the Trey Lance around the goal line is a concern, but also Trey Lance, you know, as a threat, as a rusher, they're going to use him between the 20s to as a decoy in order to free up some rushing lanes for Elijah Mitchell as well. So I think he could benefit from Lance as a runner as well.
All right, there you have it. J.K. Dobbins is a guy we haven't talked about a lot, John. I'd love to get your take on him, returning obviously from the ACL surgery. That surgery seems to be one that we all put in the rearview mirror nowadays. Now, Gus Edwards also returning from that same injury. This is a very run first. I don't want to say, you know, run heavy, run first, however you want to call Baltimore. How do you see his value shaking out this year in this tier?
Yeah, I currently have him at RB25, ECR of looks like 24.
Yeah.
I think if he and Gus Edwards are both healthy, it's really hard to get behind Dobbins unless the Ravens are able to go mega run heavy and really go crazy with the running game. And I think with their injuries to start the year, they're going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. And obviously Lamar Jackson has progressed as a passer over the last couple seasons. So I don't think they're going to be able to go crazy run heavy like they did in his first year, Lamar Jackson's first year starting. So I'm not like, I don't have a lot of Dobbins at all. I'm just not, they don't use, you know, the receiver, you know, the running backs as receivers very much at all. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that caps his passing game upside. He does have some touchdown upside, which is, you know, he scored a lot of touchdowns as a rookie, mm-hmm. just running the ball. You know, I think he's a good talent. And if Edwards' injury lingers longer than Dobbins, and you have Dobbins now in a, like a 70% role, then everything changes. But Gus Edwards is good too. And anytime he's been healthy, he's been getting 10 plus carries a game, and that just sort of puts a big dent into Dobbins' workload.
Moving on to tier five. Now, this is a big tier, so I'm not going to name everybody, but it's got rookies like Ken Walker and James Cook. It's got guys in it like fantasy darlings like Tony Pollard. You got the strong finishers last year like Devin Singletary and Rashad Penny. And now we're wondering, you know, and also guys like Ramondre Stevenson, who are looking for those second year guys who might take another step forward. Derek, when you're looking at tier five, who would you be targeting here? Maybe as sleepers, as guys you're drafting as RB3s, as flex guys that might have the upside for way more. Who could be a sleeper, or, you know, give me a couple names that you're really focusing in on in tier five.
So we talked about Chase Edmonds and James Cook on our high upside episode. So if people want to go back, check that out. I laid out all my reasons for both of them there. The two players that I really want to hammer on here, and I like Ken Walker in this range, although I find myself pretty much in line with consensus, but the two players that I am massively above consensus on, I'm say massively, I mean, it's a good bit. Tony Pollard and Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I have Pollard, ECR has him at RB32. I have him at RB23. Ramondre Stevenson, ECR has him at RB37. I have him at 31. And the reason I'm so high on these players, again, I know I sound like a broken record, pass game involvement. And Tony Pollard, I'm really buying into all of the rumblings about him being used in the slot. I know we've talked about in previous episodes how efficient he was there. I mean, I think that we could see Tony Pollard. Like, let's just look at the Dallas Cowboys from a macro approach. They're going to be fast-paced. They're going to pass a lot. They're going to be high-scoring. Outside of Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb, the receiving options look kind of shaky. Again, talking about our bold predictions article, Joe, I put in there that I think that Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard could pull a 2019 Chargers, in that Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard could both finish as top 15 running backs in fantasy points per game. And that comes down to the pass game involvement for Pollard. And you have a player that has been explosive and crazy efficient. So I want to be above the field on him, and I think his role is going to be pivotal to Dallas this year. Same thing with Ramondre Stevenson. There's talks out of a Patriots camp that he's slimmed down. We know the ability to play on all three downs. Heck, he was the 13th highest graded running back per PFF last year. And I don't think that people realize how juicy the role of the receiving back can be for the Patriots, because we didn't really see it much last year. But
well, we James haven't seen White, it in 2 years even because well, of James White.
No, we saw it last year. Just a really small sample.
A little bit. Yeah, and it's
James
a
White
sample.
Was healthy in weeks 1 and 2. In those weeks, he was RB9 and RB23. And that's the type of upside Stevenson has on a weekly basis, because we know that he could legitimately carry a three-down workload in this offense if the Patriots were to give it to him. But from day one, he could have a standalone role in the passing game, and that's really what we want in fantasy.
All right, John, when you're looking at this tier here, who do you think is a sleeper candidate, the guys that you want a piece of on your rosters?
This is a really interesting group, and I've been getting a lot of players in this group. If I go hero RB to start, and I wait until this group. I mean, you mentioned, Derek mentioned it briefly, but Chase Edmonds is a big target of mine. Our own Connor Allen did a great write-up on him, highlighting all the reasons why he is going to be the RB1 for the Dolphins. I've watching his videos, interviews, very cerebral player, really into it, really wants to succeed. But he also, I think he averaged 5.8 yards per carry on zone runs last year. And it's going to, you know, Mike McDaniel is coming over from San Francisco. So it's a good fit. And they went out and got him. And they didn't just like sit around. They went out and gave him $6 million compared to $1 million for Mostert, who I think might have a role when he's healthy. And then obviously Sony Michel's there too. So, I mean, I like Chase Edmonds, especially in full PPR, half PPR as well. And then Stevenson is a great target. I've been trying to, you know, get Edmonds and Stevenson at that 6-7 turn, 7-8 turn. Really good value on both those players. You mentioned it, Derek, the passing game role. So you look at James White, and he's still limping around camp. We don't know how healthy he's going to be. And if he's not playing, then that passing game role has to go to someone. It doesn't necessarily all go to Stevenson, but he's shown that ability to catch the ball. And he's you mentioned his rushing stats from PFF, but like I look at PFR's advanced stats. He was fourth in rush yards after contact per attempt. He was second in attempts per broken tackle. So just a really good runner of the football as well. Now, if anything, like what I'd like to get in this range is these guys that have a weekly role, but then have top five, top 10 upside. Pollard's another guy that has that. I think Stevenson absolutely has that. So if something happens to Damian Harris, then Stevenson all of a sudden is a fantasy RB1. That's a great, you know, great investment you can make there in the sixth, seventh, eighth round of some of these drafts. And I think he's going to go even later in some of these home friends and family drafts because people are just not in on Stevenson yet.
Yeah, agreed. As a Patriots fan last year, there were many times where I kept wondering, why aren't we getting Stevenson the ball more? That was just kind of my feeling. And hopefully this year, some of that will change. It'd be nice to see. Yeah.
Could sure. I add one more name? And it's
please add as many as you like. We're trying to help the people here. That's our job.
It's me defending the old guys again, but Cordarrelle Patterson.
I knew it. Cordarrelle Patterson. Go for it.
You know, he's gonna see a downtick in his carries, and we know that. They drafted Algier, or however you pronounce his last name. I'm terrible with names, but they drafted him. He's gonna be involved. But they also just have a receiving hole there and lots of targets up for grabs, and he's gonna catch some passes. So like, especially PPR formats. I mean, he's RB 34. I think he was RB 7 last year. And then he had that little injury, and they really kind of downgraded his workload towards the end of the year. But then they re-signed him. So I think he's going to have a sizable role given where his ADP is right now. And if you're in a PPR format and looking for an RB3, RB4 with some upside, I think he's definitely got that. They like to feature him in the red zone. He scored quite a few touchdowns last year, and I think he's still got that ability. So, we'll see. And then the other guy I would mention is Rashad Penny. You like Ken Walker, Derek. Penny is just like, if you want to bet on the fact, because you know all the beat reports are that he's the clear RB1. So is he going to stay healthy? That is the question. And if he does stay healthy, we saw what he can do late last year. They are going to run the ball a lot. I don't know how many touchdowns this team is going to score. The offense should be pretty bad, but maybe it's not as bad as we think. And he's got a ton of upside if he can get that 18 to 20 touches per game.
It's funny about Patterson too. This is a player that I feel like in any mock or real draft, people want nothing to do with. It feels like it was the waiver wire darling last year in the first half and the second half. Obviously the injury and everything kind of fell apart for the Falcons, as we would imagine it would. But now it seems like nobody knows what to do with this guy, and he's going at such a value that at a certain point, like you're saying, John, might just be worth to invest in the opportunity he gets, even though it's not a great offense and a great team, just because there's opportunity for Melvin Gordon in this range too. If you like the older guys there, in this, look, Melvin Gordon's still going to get touches. He's another guy I end up with because people just don't respect him. My bench RB, okay, but I think names like Pollard and Edmonds certainly have a lot more upside than Stevenson as well.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, before we close things out today, we like to go dip into the mailbag here from our Discord. And our Discord is another piece that I mentioned the game plan before, right? When you go ahead, you make that deposit in fantasypros.com/offers, and then you get the draft tools, you get the in-season management tools like My Playbook, where you can set all your lineups from all the 10 different leagues you're in one spot of Fantasy Pros. And that's pretty great right there. You also get access to our Discord stages, our AMA channels, our mock draft channels, where we're mocking with all of our Fantasy Pros family. And I pulled this question straight from my AMA, and this is from Eric Larson. He says, I can keep three players. The round where they were drafted does not matter. In a 10-man PPR league. So basically, it's just keep them. The options are Debo, Mixon, Barkley, and Chubb. Who is the odd man out? I can't decide between Chubb and Barkley. Should those be the guys, John, that people should be choosing between? Debo, Mixon, Barkley, Chubb. Who is the odd man out not being kept for you?
For me, Debo and Mixon are pretty safe picks, and I think they're the clear one and two, not necessarily in that order, but looking at Barkley and Chubb, I think you have a choice between upside and safety. I think Nick Chubb is a really good football player. He always finishes top five and all these advanced metrics that we love. I think with Deshaun Watson, if he only plays or if he is only suspended for six games, that probably helps Chubb because this offense is going to score more touchdowns. He does not catch a lot of passes, though. He's never been had a big role. A Kareem Hunt and Dearness Johnson also have a role in that backfield. So I think safety is Chubb. And then if you want upside, Saquon Barkley, we've seen it, top three fantasy running back at times. This offensive line should be better. They threw a lot of money and new bodies at this, and they've got Brian Daboll in there at head coach. And so they're trying to redo this offensive line. And I think maybe there'll be some growing pains early in the season, but after that, he should be like a you know, every down player. I don't think they're going to be playing Matt Breida a lot there. So I think full PPR, I would probably roll the dice with Barkley.
Well, that's the point I was going to make to you, Derek. It was, is, you know, it's a 10 person league PPR. It feels like Barkley is the play, right?
So yeah, it's Debo, Mixon, Barkley, and Chubb. For me, honestly, Debo is the one that I'm going to leave out of here.
Really?
And,
okay. Why is that?
And so the reason is because in a 10-team league, especially because I want to bring up that versus a 12-team, I'm more likely to go robust RB in that, knowing that those two less teams, I mean, put it this way. If you're building your roster right now and say you decided to go running back in the first three rounds, you walked away with these three guys in that format. Now I'm just going to hammer wide receivers. And especially this being a keeper league, I stick with the three running backs. I can talk myself into they're all top 15 to 20 running backs. So what running backs am I looking to start on a weekly basis if all three of these guys stay healthy? I'm just going to walk into the draft and just hammer the heck out of wide receivers in the first few rounds and then build up depth that way and take a lot of upside swings for wide receivers. Because in 10-team leagues, again, you're building a lot of all-star teams and elite talents, and you have
and
a
the
little
supply
more depth.
And demand is different. You know, yeah. When you have you,
the depth is better, taking, right. You know, so
more wide receivers, two less teams than you're normally looking at. It's a good point, Derek.
And you can work 2-for-1 trades and things like that. But walking away with that type of running back core, you could easily just load up with all the wide receivers you want to in the draft and not look at running backs until the double digit rounds, at least.
There you go.
And I would add that Eric should, you know, try to trade somebody. I mean, these guys should all be kept even in a 10 round league. So, I mean, my only counterpoint to what Derek said was that, you know, this, if he can keep Debo for multiple years, that does add a little bit of value. I think the receivers tend to last longer and their primes last longer. So that is something that I would just sort of think about, but he should be trying to do a 2-for-1 or he should be trying to move one of these guys for a pick, because you shouldn't just cut these, any of these guys back into the pile of
players. That's probably the best answer. Get more picks, get more options. That's what you do. So there you go, Eric. But whenever, you know, we have these opportunities, this is what we do. We have them up on stages on our Discord. We talk about these options and we hammer out all those different things. It's much better than just asking us a random Twitter question. And that's why there's so much value here. And again, you can join for free at fantasypros.com/chat. And of course, upgrade over to our Discord when you upgrade over at fantasypros.com/offers. Do that. Make the deposit somewhere. Get your 12 free months. That gets you the cheat sheet creator. You can pick your experts. You can pick just one expert. You can do a cross section of experts. Every time they update their rankings, it's going to update for you. You can use it in the draft simulator. You can use it in the draft assistant with sync. So all the tools work. So they have it in the draft. You can have access to all the tools for the draft, access to the stuff in my playbook. Oh, right. And of course, you always get access to the amazing podcasts and amazing video stuff we have at Fantasy Pros. And again, go over to youtube.com. You can go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel where we have all the pods, all the videos. Click that little bell till it goes ding for the notifications there, so you know when a piece of content drops here at FP. And then go win yourself something nice. Do something nice for you. Go to fantasypros.com/contest. All you got to do is go ahead and screenshot your subscription to our YouTube channel. And when you do that, you can go over to fantasypros.com/contest, get involved with that. And that jersey could be yours just for doing what you're doing already, which is watching and listening to the shows at FP. So go ahead and get it done. And that's it. John, of course, you can follow him on the Twitter machine at 4for4_John. Check out all the amazing content. Like he was talking about that amazing Chase Edmonds article that they just dropped to. And of course, follow John. He's a great fantasy football follow and a great ranker here at FP. John, we appreciate you getting up early on the West Coast to join us today, my friend. Once again, I want to just say thank you on our behalf for being part of the show. And also, I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Buffalo Wild Wings. Are you looking to have everybody together for your draft because you can again? Well, buffalowildwings.com/fantasy is the place to book your fantasy draft at Buffalo Wild Wings. The packages there are amazing. Have fun, drink some beers, draft some teams, eat some wings. BuffaloWildWings.com/fantasy. That's the place to get organized for your draft party. And of course, don't forget about PristineAuction.com. Head over to PristineAuction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com and use that promo code FantasyPros for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at Pristine Auction. Hopefully we'll be back again tomorrow with maybe a little quieter day on the news front, hopefully, but
We'll see what happens. Always going to be August is going to be fun. We know that August is, this is it. We're here. Get ready. August 1st. This is football season. It's time. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Derek Brown and John Paulson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.